Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Strong Homes, Safe Families podcast, where we focus on preparedness, mitigation, building codes, and topics that advance the disaster safety and resilience movement. My name is John Zarella, and I will be your host today. In today's episode, we have the pleasure of talking with Flash CEO and President Leslie Chapman Henderson about tornado safety and recent findings, very important findings, from the 2024 Tornado Strong Survey. Welcome, Leslie.
Thanks, John. It's great to be here with you and working together again.
Oh, yeah, it is always a pleasure. Let's dive right into this. Okay. The Federal Alliance for Safe Homes is all about strengthening and preparing people and their homes for disaster. In the spring, of course, that means Tornado Strong. So tell us about the goals of the Tornado Strong program.
Sure. Like everything we do, our main role in the disaster safety and resilience movement is getting the best science and engineering insights on how to protect families and their homes and making them accessible and understandable and useful to the general public. So we have other things like Hurricane Strong and Earthquake Strong. Tornado Strong is our spring focus because we still have a tremendous amount of work to do when it comes to helping people understand their options and, frankly, empowering them with incredible knowledge on how to stay safe and save their home from a tornado. Yeah.
You know, we want to get into some of the survey results, but I wanted to ask you first about that whole idea of, you know, keeping people safe. And because the reality is, right, that you can do it. I mean, this is not something that people can just need to throw their hands up and say, well, it's a tornado, nothing I can do about it.
You have put your finger right on top of probably the majority of those in tornado locations, which is the majority of the U.S., maybe not the West Coast, but everywhere else has some level of risk. And some places in particular more so, you know, the traditional Tornado Alley, Texas, Oklahoma, then Dixie Alley, Mississippi, Alabama, places we see, Georgia, even here in North Florida. But the problem is we do have a tornado problem, and it's a perception problem. Our science and engineering community and the researchers have used new technology and practical knowledge and field investigations to tell us and convince us there are ways to do this differently, but the public is unaware. I'd say most people still think it's just luck if I survive, and it's just luck. There's nothing you could do affordably to save my home. And there's a little bit of history here if I could just kind of put it in context. So before we, you know, the number of reported tornadoes are probably a fraction of the actual tornadoes because those are the reported ones, right? A lot of them happen out in the wild blue yonder. We don't know about it. But before 2011, I think we generally thought, okay, the focus coming out of the 70s has been on saving the people. And there was an outbreak in Xenia, Ohio that hit multi-states, including Kentucky and others. And our late leadership partner, the most revered doctor, Ernst Kiesling, and his team from Texas Tech said, hey, there's a bathroom. And it survived across miles of damage. Why did it survive? And that was the genesis of the tornado safe room concept, this reinforced, strengthened room, interior, extra anchoring on the roof, the foundation, and a special door tested with missiles in the laboratory. And those safe rooms from the 70s on have helped save thousands, possibly hundreds of thousands of lives. But we still weren't tackling the house because we thought, oh, it's too, you know, we can't do what we do for a safe room affordably to an entire house. And then in 2011, we had the deadly back-to-back outbreaks, Alabama, the Tuscaloosa, and then behind that, Joplin in May. And so Dr. Dave Privat from the University of Florida, Dr. John Vandeland from Colorado State, and David Roush, who at the time was getting his PhD in Gainesville, is now a professor at Auburn. All of these high wind research engineers started looking at the picture of the entire field of destruction in Alabama. And they said, wait a minute, you know, we have a scale for tornadoes, EF0 up to 5. 97% and below, or I mean, 97% of all the tornadoes were at the EF2 and below. And at those wind speeds, which are 135 and below, comparable to hurricanes, where we have a lot of experience, they said, wait a minute, we can take lessons learned from hurricane zones and apply them to the construction methods in tornado zones. And the extrapolated outcome from that is, because most tornadoes are the lower wind speeds, and because most of the damage, and they've done this now in every tornado since, they do the field mapping, they can use technology, satellites, and all these extra tools we didn't have before. They've verified 97% of the damage we see is at those lower speeds, so it doesn't have to happen. So that's like a giant aha.
And even in those fives that you say that are, you know, a very, very tiny percentage of the overall, even the wind field within those only encompasses a very small area, right?
When that's right.
You guys are looking at the actual path of these things.
Right. On average, over years, it's about 3% that are 4 and 5. And the cool thing, the reassuring thing, is that the safe room is certified up to 250 miles per hour. That's the ultimate life safety protection. So those stiffened, as Dr. Kiesling taught us, you know, the extra wood around those safe rooms, that reinforced door, it has like a bank vault looking door with extra bolts with a longer throw length, all of that, that is relevant and important to have in Tornado Alley anywhere. But for the house, we don't have to give up on the house is the bottom line. So what Tornado Strong is our attempt to create a renaissance and an ultimate like awakening in how we think of tornado safety and property protection. And that's why we put this information out and we speak to the public through the survey every year.
Well, and clearly the whole point of Tornado Strong is to educate the public. Do you feel there are a lot of misconceptions or insecurities when it comes to understanding severe weather, whether it's tornadoes or hurricanes?
Yes, and beyond just the basic perception that there's nothing you can do, we do have some challenges with the language we speak when we speak safety. And it's not just tornadoes, but the Weather Service, you know, just we test every year on the difference between a watch and a warning, okay? And it's confusing. The public, I mean, we're making some progress here. I think the statistics on that one have moved over time. We've seen this year, I think we had 65% understood the definition of a watch in our annual survey, which is 5 points higher than last year at 60. And it was 57% in 2022, but that is part of the problem because a tornado watch, as you know, means it might happen. A tornado warning means it's either been sighted on the ground or it's been verified on radar.
Right.
And even my friends, and we work, as you know, so closely with the meteorological community, they're like, listen, I can't explain this to my parents because it's confusing. So the long-term good news on that is the Weather Service is actually working on simplification of the language we speak around safety, because it's not intuitive for the public and it really needs to be, because when you get a tornado warning, we could be talking 60 seconds. Now, the other thing about the tornadoes is we do, you know, you might get a warning and it's 60 seconds, but if you watch your favorite weathercaster or meteorologist, or you watch the Weather Service websites, we always seem to know pretty well when the conditions are right for a tornado days in advance. And so it should never come as a surprise, yet we still have those problems. People say, I didn't get a watch. I didn't know it was coming. But if people could just tap into their inner weather junkie, or just maybe get your kids to get more interested in it or something, you can, even if you're in a home without a safe room, you can identify a place in your community, a school, a large retail location where you can go take shelter, but you have to plan ahead. And that's what we've seen. Some of the deaths sometimes happen from people that leave too late and they get caught on the road. And that's so the whole idea here is getting the word out and then overcoming the idea that these are very, very rare events, because they don't necessarily always get reported, and they can, you know, there are just so many things we can do to overcome.
One of the things, too, is that if you're out there, you're in the public, when there's a tornado watch issued, at least perk your ears up at that point and say, okay, we need to pay attention, right? I mean, that's kind of a basic.
Right. And I think, you know, like everything with messaging, what is it they say, you know, we have the attention span. Well, we've lost ground to the goldfish. The goldfish has a quick 6 or 9.
I know I have. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, I have as I've gotten older. But as you know, we're competing for people's focus and attention through messaging. But, you know, what we're tornado strong when we'll know it's successful when people's understanding and their behavior become second nature, right? I mean, I think we've made great strides on things like hurricanes because people go, okay, it's June 1.
Oh, yeah.
I need to get my kid updated. I need to think about, you know, different things. But tornado is one that people still are laboring under that idea that it's just about luck. And it isn't. We can do this. And one of my favorite quotes from David Pravat, he's just such a brilliant, dedicated researcher and partner to us. We do benefit, as you know. We're so fortunate to have partners from NIST, like Mark Levitan and Dave and others, to provide us with the information. But one time he said, we were speaking at a conference, he said, you know, if we can put a man on the moon, we can keep a roof on a house, right? And
that, so, yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah. And I mean, it wasn't always a way, but now it is. It is now.
You can always use the man on the moon analogy for just about... It
yeah.
works.
And that's part of your repertoire, right? You have a lot of experience in this whole covering space and all the good things that happen there.
You know, one of your survey questions addressed the whether FEMA can, you know, shelter can provide near absolute protection in tornadoes up to 250 miles an hour. How are you doing with that question in the survey?
That one was kind of disturbing this year, and I'm not sure if we're not generating enough public discussion about it, because in 2022, we were about 50-50, I think 52%. 2023, 50% understood that there is a ultimate life safety option through a certified and tested shelter, but this year came in at 38%, and I'm not sure why. And, you know, with surveys, you never know for sure, but that will definitely be... we'll be rededicating ourselves to the discussion about tornado safe rooms and shelters because, and you know this because you produced, we have a suite of 6 videos at tornadostrong.org where you can look at all the different options and types, but the great news here is they're becoming more and more affordable. When we first started out in the Tornado Strong initiative, it was not possible to order and buy a tornado shelter at a big box store, but now you can go to Lowe's and look up extreme storm shelters and you can get a safe room. And frankly, every time we talk about it on television, people call us and say, I had no idea. And there, and this, and right. How we know that the take up is working in that particular instance is the sales. They're robust. Once people find out, they're like, I want that. Because a safe room, we used to say, give it ordinary room and extraordinary purpose. So your safe room can also be a bathroom. It can also be a shed inside your garage where you store things. Some people have made kind of fancy man caves out of a safe room with technology. Others, it's just something in the yard. It can be outside, but they're becoming more available, more affordable. And like we said before, 250 miles an hour. That's pretty good.
That's really good. That dovetails right into the next part of the surveys. And well, one of the issues was that when asked about how many U.S. counties have been under a tornado watch during the past 5 years, you know, I don't think I would have gotten that question right, Leslie, that, you know, the numbers in that survey, only 15% of those surveyed knew the answer was between 76 and 100%. And that just shows how widespread tornado activity can be.
That's right. And that's a number we get directly from the National Weather Service Storm Prediction Center, where they tabulate, track, and calculate. But what they always remind us is these are reported tornadoes. And so beyond the number reported, which is so high, we have so many that we never know about. They happen at night, or people aren't aware, and or in rural areas where there's no population. So yeah, they're very prevalent. And these are all the myths. So big picture, people think they're very rare. There's nothing you can do. that there's just, if you could do something, it's too expensive. And none of that is the case. And when people find out, they're happy. The word does get out. There's some markets, John, where, like in Oklahoma, where they've had repeated strikes in places like Moore and Oklahoma City.
Yeah. I was there for that.
Yeah, the real estate market reflects a buyer's preference for homes with safe rooms. And it's more difficult to sell a home without a safe room. And it's become a social norm to have a safe room. So the word has gotten out in some of those markets. And I think it's kind of hard to measure, but like I said, the sales of safe rooms are way up in, I know from the Lowe's experience, because they're a partner of ours, but I don't know that we've gotten everywhere we need to go, even in places, you know, we saw deadly tornadoes in December of last year outside of Nashville. Real problems there. And, you know, that kind of gets into the whole, how do we make it systematic on a policy basis? So, you know, that's the, you know, we've got this consumer awareness push and we want the market to accept it. But what's ideal that hasn't happened yet is to get it in there reliably through codes.
So it would seem to me by the results of that survey where so few people realize that it can happen just about anywhere, including me, I wouldn't have gotten that right, that there is this, as you say, the misperceptions. Well, you know, they only happen in the Midwest or they only happen in the Southeast, when clearly you can have tornadoes and bad ones just about anywhere.
Right. So there's some good news here. We have some low-hanging fruit options for homeowners because not everybody's building a brand new house. In fact, only 2% or fewer of homes per year are built new. But you can start by kind of figuring out your starting point. What code was used for your house? And we do have a digital free open source solution for that. We maintain a website called inspect2protect.org, and you can put your address in there. And we have building code data and statuses in the website that will tell you, okay, so your code today is X, but if you have a statewide building code, it'll also say at the time of your construction, that you can look across the year and it'll say, okay, your house was built, John, in 1980 before the advent of certain methods. And then it'll give you suggested retrofit options that you can take on over time. But so that's an important first step to just kind of, it's diagnostics really for your house structurally. And it's basic, but it just gives you, it empowers you with information to get started. But then from there, you can look at very specific places. And this is coming in some of the recent analysis coming from our friends at NIST, Dr. Mark Levitan. He took the findings from the losses in Joplin and ran an analysis on what, if any, correlation there was between a garage door and its ability to survive and the survival of the roof or what he calls the adjacent walls. Now, full disclosure, at a certain wind speed, right, when you get up in that EF 4 and 5, everything is going. But at those lower wind speeds, like we've been talking about, EF 0, 1, and 2, if you look at his data and the correlation he made, it's exceptionally powerful. Where the garage door was in place, the roof didn't go. And this was on a sustained basis with thousands of properties reviewed. And so what that tells us is I'm a homeowner. I'm not doing anything new to my roof yet, although there's opportunities when you do re-roof. Maybe just go and look at your garage door. First, is it mounted well? Are there plenty of screws in the metal bracing around it? Okay. Is the door itself wind resistant or even better, impact resistant? Are you in the market for a new garage door? If you're worried about tornadoes, this is an investment that could save your home. And now we have engineering research data to prove it. So that's really key. Another piece is inside the attic, and you know, we've been talking about this for years, there are retrofits you can do between the roof and the wall connections, and this is all about keeping the house connected. Sometimes with just premium flooring adhesive, remember the Clemson research, quarter inch bead of caulk of the right grade in the joints between the roof deck, inside the attic if you have access. So we're kind of chipping away at these interim steps that have very powerful performance implications. And that's what's exciting too about this year, because we have Dr. Levitan's analysis and we can kind of you know, get the word out. We just don't want people throwing up their hands and saying there's nothing I can do, because there are things you can do.
Well, you know, and if people want a visual proof of that, all they got to do, and you and I both know this, you take a look back at the videos after Hurricane Andrew, or the garage doors that were gone, and those were the houses that lost their roofs in a lot of places. I mean, if anybody doubts what you're saying, go take a look at some of those videos.
That's right. I think conservatively, the Weather Service and Flash and our, you know, 26-year experience now, 92% or more of the time when we see destruction of a roof or the windows, you know, that's the balloon, right? The pressurization of the house, balloon like a balloon, it eventually pops. It starts with the garage door. It's your largest and weakest opening. So we now know that that's relevant for hurricanes. We've known that. And high wind, and it's very evident in these tornado situations, which is why there's some other good news about garage doors. It's been a very confusing thing for consumers to buy a garage door and know what they're getting. But the industry itself is, and in the building code now, there's a requirement for labeling. So you'll have, and Florida already has this requirement. You've seen it on your door, but in any place now, you're going to be able to tell, you know, have basic garage door, impact resistant is the penultimate. In the middle, you have wind resistant. So the wind resistance tested for wind pressure impact, of course, has missile testing. And there's wind loaded doors available in the marketplace, but there's a breakdown between the consumer understanding what they're buying and how to get there. But the labeling is going to fix that. And that's another big step forward. And the industry was actually fantastic and very accepting about it once they realized the breakdown and the power, you know, of a safe door.
Now, there's people out there who are going to say, I can't make changes to my home. I just can't. For whatever the reasons might be, what options do they have?
So safety first, right? We want you to start with your family plan. What is your lowest level interior windowless room where you're going to go? Make sure that that room is always at the ready. And again, so you've been noticing for a couple of days that the conditions might be right for tornadoes. You're staying aware. You have apps downloaded. You don't count on just one system. You know, weather radio, smartphone apps. There's plenty of free alerting options out there. Keep blankets, even bike helmets for the kids or yourself nearby. And have that safety plan in place, because that can make or break, you know, your survival. And then just look for, you know, in our homes, it's a lifespan question for maintenance and things, and understand your upgrade options if you are re-roofing or you are getting a new garage door, or even if you want to just take some ordinary caulk and adhesives and do some things to strengthen the connections. If you go in your attic and you can see through the joints to the sky, you can fix that, but you definitely need to for all kinds of reasons.
Yeah, just even water barrier protection is part of that. Now, we just talked about the garage doors. Anything else new in the Tornado Strong program this year that you want to share with the listeners?
Well, we're going to be doing some partnerships and probably doing some different kinds of promotions about the garage door opportunities. We're just getting started in our partnership with the garage door industry itself. And they're pretty excited because they have told us that, you know, there's some misperceptions there too. People don't realize these wind-loaded garage doors are widely available and they have been for 20 years. Yeah. So we'll be coming out with some ways to do simplification. We'll fly right in behind the new labeling, and it'll probably be an effort to, you know, help people understand the labeling. And that'll be part of what we do with Tornado Strong this year and moving forward in the future. We'll just keep looking for these, you know, the low-hanging fruit. What can I do today? We want the homeowner to be empowered and to be in charge of their safety. We're not going to leave it up to others. And like I said, we want it to be second nature.
All right. So I know there are going to be a lot of people out there who are going to say, okay, where can I go to get more information?
Okay. So we want you to visit tornado-strong.org or flash.org. You can get there from both directions. And you can also put in that same query on your building code at flash.org, or you can go to Inspector Protect. We come at this from all directions. They're all digital. Everything's free, commercial free. And if you're stuck after you go online and you have questions, then you can call us. We will. We're backed by all the great minds in these scientific and engineering arenas, and we will get you the answers you need.
Leslie, thank you again, and thank you so much for all that you do in resilience and protecting folks in the wake of natural disasters and ahead of time before they hit. And thanks to all of you for listening to this week's episode of Strong Homes, Safe Families. You can email us at info@flash.org or call us toll free at 877-221-SAFE. That's 7233. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, share, and provide a review on iTunes. Until next time, for Leslie Chapman Henderson, I'm John Zarella.